guest speaker, Brother Rainey Webb.
Now, as I was going through thinking about what I was talking about, what I would talk about this morning, I've had a lot of Matthew and things from the Gospels in my mind, because much like what y'all are doing here over at Mount Leo, you know, we're doing the Bible Bowl, and so we've been doing a lot of study in Matthew. And over the course of studying Matthew, I remembered going through the school of preaching and studying the life of Christ, and I was reminded of one of the very first writing assignments that I had going through the school of preaching. And the topic was this: if Jesus were to come back and preach a sermon, like let's just pretend Jesus was going to show up this morning at East End and present one lesson, what lesson would he speak on? Now, certainly a very broad, open-ended topic to think, well, what would I think Jesus would preach on? And so in reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of those, studying, trying to think what it would be that Jesus would talk about, there was one thing that I noticed in my study that constantly came up throughout the Gospels. And that was Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees. All throughout the Gospels, you see Jesus and His interaction with the Pharisees, and more often than not, they're very negative issues that Jesus has to deal with and has to battle when it comes to dealing with the Pharisees. And oftentimes, Jesus had very harsh things to say about the Pharisees. And so with that in mind, I started thinking, well, if Jesus were to bring one lesson today, perhaps He would warn us. Warn us, just as He warned His disciples, to not be like those Pharisees. For instance, we go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus presents some very powerful words for us to take into consideration and to understand. He says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus tells His disciples their righteousness needs to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, most of the people that day, they would have heard this and thought, well, wait a minute. You're presenting something that's impossible. How can our righteousness possibly exceed those of the scribes and the Pharisees? Because just like many of the other Jewish people that day, Jesus' disciples would have heard that and, you know, they would have viewed the Pharisees as being very elite religiously. You know, they would have viewed them as the upper echelon when it comes to the Jewish faith. They would have thought of those guys as being the absolute best. So when they heard Jesus say that, they would have thought, how can we possibly match up with their stature? But ultimately, that's not the case. As we'll look and as we'll see, what Jesus is telling them is He's saying, actually, guys, the Pharisees are at the low end of the scale. When we actually look at what the Pharisees were like, and perhaps not all, but certainly the ones that we see having interaction with Jesus, we see that they were not religious at all. We see that they were very corrupt and wicked people that Jesus regularly had to deal with. And so as we study, we need to see that for us as the church, we need to be cautious that we're not like those Pharisees, that while many of the world may view us and think that we're religious, we need to be careful that Jesus isn't going to look at us and say, well, yeah, the world may view you as religious, but I don't view you as being someone who's following Me. So certainly with that in mind, we kind of want to have a good understanding of what the Pharisees were like so that we know what sort of attitudes and mindsets we should avoid on our daily walks as we look to live a faithful Christian life. So first of all, if you would flip over to Matthew chapter 6, we see throughout a good chunk of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus warns us about how the Pharisees oftentimes did things to be seen by men. Again, as I said before, the Pharisees were often viewed as that ultimate example of what being a faithful Jew should look like. You know, everyone else in Jerusalem, everyone else in Judea in that area, they would have viewed those Pharisees as, okay, that's the standard. That's what we need to strive for. And the reason being is that the Pharisees made sure people viewed them as that. They made sure their actions out in public were such that people thought that they were very religious. And certainly that's not to say that a person shouldn't have an appearance of being religious outside these walls. The problem is that what we're like all the time? Or are we just doing that to be seen of men? For instance, let's consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. First of all, we'll see that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus warns His disciples not to be like those of the synagogue, or the exact words that we'll see Him use here, which we understand that would be those scribes and those Pharisees, the ones of the synagogue. But when we see what Jesus says, here's what He warns, starting in chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now, here, as it's translated in the New King James and in other versions, it mentions not doing your charitable deeds before men. More accurately translated, it would just be referring to Jesus, ultimately referring to here, is all your deeds. Whatever it is that you are doing in service to God, make sure you're not doing that just so you can be seen of men. So ultimately, in verse 1, He's presenting a very broad statement of, don't let your actions be such that you're just doing them so that men view you as being religious or being good, but that God ultimately sees that you're striving to be religious. Now, He gets specifically into that of charitable deeds or giving in verse 2. He says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly." So one thing we see here Jesus is warning about is, don't be like those Pharisees or those in the synagogues who are out there making a great deal of noise about their giving. You know, the Pharisees, they wanted to make sure everyone knew, hey everyone, look at how much money I'm giving to the church. You know, I'm going above and beyond to give as much as possible. You know, they wanted people to see them give because they realized if people saw them give, they would look and say, wow, those Pharisees, those are great people. We need to follow them. You know, we need to follow their example because of how great they are. You know, they weren't doing those things to honor God or to glorify God. They did those things because it brought glory to themselves. But what Jesus tells us is, when we go and we do our charitable deeds, you know, for instance, here in a little bit, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to give of our means, to give back to the church in service to God. Certainly, we shouldn't, as the trays come to us, we shouldn't say, hey everyone, look how much I'm putting in the tray. I want you all to know that I'm putting this great of an amount and you all need to follow suit. Now, that's not the kind of way that we need to be, where we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. Instead, we ought to just do the best that we can to give what we see fit as far as being appropriate in order to honor God, in order to glorify Him, not to draw attention to ourselves. Jesus then goes on into verse 5, and this time He talks to them about prayer. Going to verse 5, He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So now this time Jesus warns them about prayer. Again, similarly to that with giving, the Pharisees and those scribes, they would go out in public, you know, spread their hands wide open, make a loud noise, praying to God so that everyone would notice. Everyone would notice, oh, you know, there's those Pharisees praying to God again. You know, those must be really religious people. So once again, we see those Pharisees, they're trying to draw the focus on themselves. At that moment when they're praying to God, people aren't thinking, well, God is glorified. Instead, they're thinking, look at those Pharisees. You know, the focus on what should be a time where the focus is on God, we see that focus is being shifted towards those Pharisees. But here's what Jesus tells us to do. You know, when we go to pray, when we go to God in prayer, He says it needs to be in silence. It needs to be that time of quietness where you can have that relationship between yourself and the Father. You know, there needs to be that close relationship and that focus on the Father. Now, ultimately, I don't think this means that, say, if you're out in a restaurant to eat, you get your food, that doesn't mean you should pray for that food. But ultimately, what that's saying is you're not trying to draw attention to yourself. That's not the goal. The goal isn't to draw attention to yourself. The goal, ultimately, is to glorify God. So, again, that doesn't mean if you're out in public or you're out eating or whatever and you see that there's an appropriate time where you need to pray to God, that doesn't mean you can't do so in public. Just consider, what are your motives? What reason are you doing that? And is the focus ultimately to draw attention to God? Now that's what Jesus' main point is. You know, the Pharisees, they were trying to make the attention about themselves, but the attention should be on God. And finally, a little further, Jesus then goes on to talk about fasting. So we look in verse 16 of chapter 6. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So again, we see the Pharisees, whenever it was time for them maybe to do some fasting, which was a common practice, they would have made sure they looked as rough as possible. You know, they would have been just unbathed, unwashed, just miserable looking. Their face would have been, as we said, they would have looked just miserable and sad. Because again, they wanted people to look at them and think, wow, look at how much they're giving to their fasting. You know, that's truly a wonderful person. Jesus says, don't be like that. He tells His disciples, when you fast, wash yourself, be clean, you know, be happy. Don't make it look as though you're fasting. Because again, oftentimes fasting was done for these individuals so they could try and have that closeness and that relationship with God, a closeness there. But again, the Pharisees were misusing that and turning it into something for themselves. Again, trying to bring glory to themselves. So certainly we see these actions themselves are not condemnable. You know, giving, praying, fasting. As a matter of fact, we see Jesus throughout the Gospels doing all of those things, don't we? You know, we see Jesus pay the temple tax or give to the temple. We see Jesus praying. We see Jesus fasting at times. So all of these things we see Jesus did, and we understand that His disciples did the same thing. The issue here lies with the fact that many of the Pharisees, again, as we've looked at, they were doing these so that the people would approve of them. So that all the attention, all the focus could be around the Pharisees. They wanted the glory. They didn't want God to get the glory, but ultimately they wanted it. And so now we think about that as Christians today. Again, we ought to strive to do things as God commands in the Gospels on a daily basis. You know, the things that we do in this life, not just in this building, but out in the world, they ought to be lined up with what we find in Scripture. However, they should not be done in such a way where the attention is on us. You know, when people see us out in the world, hopefully they think that we're Christians. Hopefully they see us and see our lives line up with that of a Christian life. But hopefully it's also done to glorify God, not done so that they say, wow, such and such is, he's a really great person. You know, he really does everything he can to live right. Certainly people will say those things if we're striving to live a righteous life. But again, the focus should be, are we making sure God gets the glory? And that should be our ultimate goal as Christians. So we have to be careful that our actions aren't done to draw attention to ourselves, but they're done to draw attention to God. So that's one example we see of what the Pharisees were like and actions that we ought to try and avoid on a daily basis. Another thing that we see about the Pharisees is found in Matthew chapter 23. Now, ultimately, when it comes to that of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, a person could spend several lessons just in that chapter because of the things that Jesus says and just how harsh He is with the Pharisees and their actions. But specifically, I want us to look at what we read about in chapter 23 around verse 25. And just to give a little bit of information as far as what we're about to read, we see Jesus basically referring to those Pharisees as being like cups that are clean on the outside but filthy on the inside, or like whitewashed tombs. Let's look at that now. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." So here we see, first of all, in these first few verses, Jesus referring to them as that cup. Again, clean on the outside, spotless on the outside, but then when you look inside, it's filthy. Now let's think about us. Let's say someone gave you a cup, and you looked at it, and I mean, it was sparkling. You looked on the outside, and you thought, wow, this is a very clean cup. But right before you got something to drink, you looked on the inside of it, and you saw it stained. You saw it just nasty. You see old drink stains of what was there in the past. And you notice a whiff, you notice a funny smell coming from it. So you know that this cup inside has not been cleaned. Well, let me ask, are you going to drink something in that cup? No, you're going to look at that and say, well, this cup's not washed. Yeah, sure, the outside's clean, but you're not going to say that the cup is clean just because the outside of it looks nice. No, you're going to realize that that cup is filthy, that that cup is something that you don't want any part of. We understand that that cup has to be clean, not just on the outside, but on the inside, for it to be usable. But now let's think about that, spiritually speaking, for the Pharisees and also for us. Again, we see the Pharisees on the outside. They maintained appearances. Everyone looked at them as being very clean, very well, you know, serving to God. You know, people looked at them and thought, now there is a faithful servant. The only problem was their lives truly did not maintain that. You know, they were all about themselves. They're all about bringing glory to themselves. As we looked at earlier, they did not live these wholesome, clean lives as they tried to portray to the people. And so now let's think about us. You know, many of us are here this morning, you know, we're in our nice clothing, our Sunday best, as, you know, we might refer to it as. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's certainly nothing wrong with looking to dress up and wear your absolute best before you go to worship. But ultimately, this suit and this tie that I'm wearing, this doesn't make me clean. This doesn't make me a servant of Jesus. You know, I could be just as much of a servant of Jesus in a lot less than this, as far as quality. But what ultimately matters is the inside. How am I on the inside? You know, am I living a faithful life serving Jesus? Am I striving on a daily basis to do my absolute best to serve Jesus as He deserves to be served? Or am I just looking like a Christian? Do people just think I look like a Christian? That's not enough. We have to be one, truly, inside and out. We go a little further. He doesn't just call them an unwashed cup. But we go on to verse 27. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So, again, we see the harsh words that Jesus has for those Pharisees, comparing them to that of a whitewashed tomb. And many of us, we might understand that. You know, a lot of us, we have individuals that we know and care of that have passed from this world. And oftentimes, we will go and maintain their gravesides, you know, make them look nice and look kept up. But ultimately, we know the truth of it, and that is that ultimately, inside those gravesites, it's death. You know, and it's a sad thought and a terrible thought, but we understand that that's what's taking place at a graveyard. And it's certainly not a place that we necessarily enjoy spending a lot of time around because of the death. Well, now, again, looking at those Pharisees, outside, yes, they looked really good. But inside, they were dead spiritually. Inside, they were corrupt. They were wicked. As Jesus says there, the exact words He uses, they are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And we'll consider that word of hypocrite later on. But, you know, they were full of lawlessness, as in they were violating God's law. Certainly, that's not a righteous person. They may have looked clean on the outside, but inside we see that they were just filthy. So now, again, thinking about us as Christians, you know, we're clean on the outside, certainly. You know, I can look out here and I see a group of people that on the outside are very maintained, very well kept. But how are we on the inside? How am I on the inside? Is Jesus looking at me and saying that I'm a hypocrite and full of lawlessness? Or is He viewing who I am on the inside and saying, there is a faithful servant? You know, each one of us, we have to ask ourselves individually that question. And certainly we should strive to be as those faithful people. You know, I remember in reading this, I started thinking about that of Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus writes to the church in Sardis. And He says in verse 2, "You have a name that you are alive, yet you are dead." So again, we see Him describing a church as being dead. Even though the world views them as alive, Jesus says spiritually at this point, you are dead. Certainly we don't want to be like that church of Sardis was at that time. We don't want to be viewed by Jesus as being dead. So certainly we must avoid being like those whitewashed tombs that Jesus talks about. And again, there's nothing wrong with us maintaining our physical body. But far more important than that, are we maintaining our spiritual bodies? Are our spiritual bodies going to service to Christ as it should? And again, we looked at two examples here of what the Pharisees were like. And there's so many other places that we could go and see just how badly the Pharisees missed the mark. But I think ultimately, one thing we see about the Pharisees that Jesus regularly summed up, and certainly something that we should look to avoid, is Jesus oftentimes referred to them as hypocrites. We saw it in chapter 6. You know, Jesus tells His disciples, don't do what the hypocrites do, who just do what they do in order to be seen. Or what we've read here. I mean, you go throughout chapter 23, and I mean, just looking down, looking at some verses. Verse 13, it says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Go down to verse 14. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." It says the same thing in 15. Go down further, you know, as what we've looked at. Verse 23, verse 25, verse 27. All throughout just this one chapter, constantly calling the Pharisees hypocrites. So it's important for us to understand so that we can avoid that. We need to know, well, what does that term mean, hypocrite? I think oftentimes we might fail to apply that word appropriately because sometimes we as humans, being imperfect and make mistakes, though we strive to live a Christian life, we're going to come up short at times. We're going to miss the mark. We're inconsistent at times. But that doesn't mean we're a hypocrite. No, when we consider the word hypocrite, It is a Greek transliteration, or, you know, that would be very similar how you would read it in Greek, that of hypocrite, that ultimately refers to someone who is an actor, someone who's performing in a play. And so, again, we might think of maybe your favorite movie or TV show, and you know this actor who's playing this villain in that movie. Now, you know in real life that person isn't a thief or a murderer or whatever they're portraying as that villain. We know that they're just performing a part. They're just performing a role. So Jesus, when He calls out the Pharisees and He looks at them and says, "You hypocrites," Jesus is ultimately saying, you guys are playing the part of a faithful Jewish servant. You're playing the role of someone who's serving God, but in real life you're not. In real life you're serving yourself. You're looking to help yourself, to benefit yourself. You're not honestly serving God. So again, those are some harsh words that Jesus used talking about the Pharisees. You are a hypocrite. You're an actor. What people see, they see someone who is not real. And so, again, Jesus saw right through their act. Many people bought into it. Many people looked at the Pharisees and thought, as we've seen, that they are these great religious leaders. But Jesus called them out. You're just actors. You're really good actors. You know, you've got a lot of people believing your act, but you're still just actors. So now we need to ask ourselves, are we playing the role of a Christian? Or are we actually Christians? Hopefully, we truly believe what we say we believe when we come here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Hopefully, we are consistently striving to live that faithful life, serving God. And hopefully, it's not just an act or just a performance that we are putting on. Again, as I said before, and I want to emphasize this, this doesn't mean that we're living a perfect life. We understand we're going to make mistakes as humans. But what this means is we are striving daily to serve God the best we can. And we're not just putting on a performance. But what we show to the world is who we really are. And that was the ultimate issue with the Pharisees. And we understand what's going to happen if we fail to live that sort of life, and if we're just performing a play. My mind goes to Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now these words, I can't help but think of the Pharisees that we see Jesus interacting with when I read these words. You know, on that day of judgment, they're saying, "Lord, look at all the things that I've done in your name. You know, I did everything in your name. I cast out demons. I did everything to serve you." Yet Jesus, on that day of judgment, says, "Depart." Because He knew those people were just actors. They didn't truly believe those things that they said they were doing. They didn't truly live that faithful Christian life. And so that may be the case for us, and we have to be careful that that's not the case for us, because many will say on that day of judgment that they served Jesus faithfully. Yet on that day, many will be told to depart. So we see here, as we've looked throughout, Jesus spent a lot of His time warning of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And again, while that example or that topic that I wrote that paper on, you know, Jesus coming back to preach one lesson, certainly we understand, obviously, that's not going to happen. We know Jesus isn't going to show up in order to preach one lesson. But certainly, He does teach us through His Word. You know, we look at His Word and study His Word, and that's where we learn from Jesus. And that's how Jesus preaches to us today. But with that being said, we do know that one day Jesus will return. But on that day, that'll be the day of judgment. That'll be the day in which Jesus, as we've already read, if we're living like those Pharisees, He will tell us to depart. It's at that point we can no longer pretend to be a Christian. We can no longer put on that sort of show as though we're a Christian. So, while we have time now, let's strive not to live as the Pharisees, but instead, let's strive to live as Jesus lived, to follow that path that He walked. Because that's the only path in which we can have salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You've yet to put Christ on in baptism. And you're here this morning and you're ready to begin that walk with Christ. You've studied and you know what it takes. You know what the Scripture teaches. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who believes not will be condemned." If you're here and you're ready to put Christ on in baptism, we can help you with that this morning. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins, beginning your walk with Christ. And as I said, it's just the beginning at that point. You're just starting your service. And maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you've not lived that Christian life. Maybe you've caught yourself being as one of those actors or being like a Pharisee. You know, while maybe people think you're a Christian, you realize you've not lived that faithful Christian life. Or maybe there's something else holding you up in your faith. We can help you with that as well. Just whatever your need may be, let it be made known as we speak.